Thank you for being here today. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Chose this year the Gospel of Luke as we move toward Easter, thinking about how many people have missed out on, or Luke talks about how many people missed out on encountering Jesus. The reason why I chose the Gospel of Luke this year is just because it reminds us that Jesus was always on his way to Jerusalem. There's many times in the gospel it says he set his eyes toward Jerusalem, or he was traveling on. Today is one of those passages where it talks about him traveling, moving toward Jerusalem. Today we're going to talk about a dear friend who missed his presence. Several years ago, in another church, I was doing some counseling with a married couple. And out of that time together, there was kind of a common problem that was raised. The wife said that even though the husband was home at times, he wasn't really with her. And he complained. He said, "Well, yes, I am. We sit and watch TV every night." And so she kept saying, "Well, yeah, but you're not really with me, even though you're in the same room." So I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Have you ever been in a room with someone, or in a car with someone, or at a meeting with someone, and although you're all in the same room, you're not really there together? You know what I'm talking about? They're not really connecting, in other words. Now, this is kind of important in the church because in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the new church believers gathered together what we know as the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there that they were all together in one place. Now, that sounds kind of redundant at first, doesn't it? They're all together. They're in one place. Isn't that the same thing? But in the Greek language, that is a superlative. It means they were together, together. They were all together and in the same place. They were together, together. In other words, they were in one accord. They were not just in the same room, but they were sharing something spiritually that brought them together. They were together in the room, but they were also together in their spirit. And there's something about that that we've got to remember, because as married couples or just friends or even associates at work, if you ever go through too many times where you're in the same place but you're not really together, it can be quite frustrating. And for us as Christians, how many times are we set aside to be with God and yet we're really someplace else? We're not really with Him in that place. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to examine that of all the people that Jesus dealt with, those of some of his closest friends, one of his dearest friends we'll talk about today, totally missed him because of what was going on around her and in her life. The lady's name is Martha, and she had a chance to share close personal time with Jesus, but she allowed her busyness to take over. So here's the question I want to make sure that we ask today. Do you ever miss Jesus because you're spending too much time serving Him? Do you ever forget that God is showing up when we gather in a place to ask Him to show up? Do we ever miss the presence of what God is wanting to do around us when that is the whole focus for why we are there? Let's read the scripture together. It's Luke chapter 10. If you want to use the pew Bible that's there in the hymn rack in front of you, it's page 956 in the bottom right-hand corner. Maybe it's on your mobile device, or maybe you've got your Bible with you. Let's read together. Luke chapter 10, and starting with verse 38. While they were traveling, he, that's Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Father, I ask that in this moment, in these few minutes that we have together to concentrate on the lessons from your holy word, I pray that you will use me as a servant for your people. But let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Come in this place. Help us to sense you near, spurring our spirits on, teaching us, encouraging us. And I pray that this lesson might be something that falls on ready hearts to know that we can't miss you when we're totally focused on being with you. Help us, Father, in the midst of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wasn't sure how first to deal with this passage, so I thought I would just kind of be obvious and simple. And the simple thing is that some of Jesus' friends welcomed him into their home. We are told here that Martha was the one who welcomed Jesus into her home, and there's reasons for that. I think the father of this family had been ill and had been healed. The older brother was ill and eventually passed away, and Jesus raised him from the grave. And so Mary was told later on in the Gospel of John that she really was concentrated on the village, on the people of the village. So Martha, probably the oldest of the two sisters, the older of the two sisters, it was a sign that this was her home. She was probably the mother of the home because the mother was not on the scene. And so we are told that in this first experience of engaging these people, of being introduced to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, names that are familiar to us if we've been in church any length of time, this is the first mention of those two ladies in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke. So we also know this, that Jesus probably already had some kind of relationship with them. He evidently had some kind of connection with them. And I've shared in the past what I think that might be, but that's not really crucial for today. But that Jesus had some kind of friendship with Mary and Martha and their family. And so when he stopped by the little village of Bethany, Martha invited him into her home, into the home of the family. The whole idea is that they were going to have dinner there. And who are they? Jesus and his disciples that were on their way traveling. They stopped by Bethany, and they were going to have a meal there with Martha and Mary and maybe even spend the evening. The four Gospels paint for us a picture that Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and that family unit, that Jesus had a very close personal relationship with them. And that's what I want to make sure that we understand today, that of all the things we know about Jesus, sometimes the things we overlook is that while he walked on this earth as God in the flesh, he was fully God, but he was also fully human, fully man. And there were times when he needed a close personal relationship with other human beings that shared life like he did. They were the ones that walked the dirty roads. They were the ones that had to work and make a living. They were the ones that had to experience the Romans having control over their country. All of them shared those things together, and Jesus had this relationship close, like a family unit, with Mary and Martha and their family. Now, this is how we know about the relationship, because of the different passages of Scripture in Luke and two chapters in John that tell us about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that's really all we know are those three passages, but the picture is one of a beautiful relationship that he shared with them. Now, Bethany was just about 2 miles from Jerusalem. If you're at the temple in Jerusalem and you walk down to the Kidron Valley and up the next hill into the Mount of Olives, just beyond there is the little village of Bethany. So we're not too far from Jerusalem. 2 miles from here, you might be down by the soccer fields. 2 miles from here, you might be over by Hack's Cross somewhere. So just get an idea of where from Jerusalem to Bethany wasn't too far outside the capital city. But let's pause a moment and ask this question, or several questions. Is your home open to Jesus stopping by for a visit? Now, he's not going to do it literally, I don't guess. If he does, please invite me over. I'd like to be there for it. But is your life open to Jesus coming by and examining and spending some time with you? Can he be present in the activities you're involved in? Think about that, students. Is he welcome when you surf the social media and get on the web? Is Jesus able to sit by you and spend some close time with you in your regular life? Can you take him to work, men and women? Is he part of your conversations? When you're making decisions about your family, personal things that you have to encounter and make a step forward on, is Jesus a part of those conversations? What about your television choices or the books, magazines, articles that you read? Can Jesus participate in your life? Can he be that close and personal? Or is he just somebody off, you know, on Pluto somewhere that you pray to and you don't really want him to get too close and intimate in your life? How close can Jesus get? Will you allow him into your life and into your home, into your heart? Is Jesus involved in the friendships that you share in life? Those things that make a major impact about who you are? We are most influenced by those closest to us, and does Jesus have any right to help you decide who will be your closest and most impactful friends? That's what it really means for Mary and Martha to open up the doors of their home and say, Jesus, come on in. Come on in and sit down. Come on in and share a meal with us. Come on and visit. And these two friends, these two sisters, opened up their home to Jesus. But they each had a different response to him. So the first one is, let's talk about Martha. Because Martha was distracted. And I started to just subtitle this, there is a time and place for serving Jesus. And Martha represented that. But in this particular case, she was distracted. Now the New Testament tells us, encourages Christians, many places that we ought to be about serving each other and also serving in our community. Verses like this, do unto the least of these, remember that? We're told in the book of Ephesians to edify the body with your spiritual gift, to serve one another. Jesus told his disciples, the world will know you are my disciples, we are Christians, by your love for one another. We are told throughout the New Testament that we're supposed to be about serving and working and helping and aiding people, making sure that we come alongside one another. And in modern terms, the church could not survive if it wasn't for the believers who were working and serving in the church. And the world would not be the same if Christians stayed inside the four walls of the church and never went out to meet some of the needs of their community. If we just ignored the community in which we sit, we would not be living out what the Christian call is, because part of it is to be in service. Even James, the brother of Jesus, when he writes the book of James toward the end of the New Testament, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we are encouraged as Christians to serve one another. But it is possible to become so busy serving that we forget to spend time with Jesus. Now, I don't know where you are in this, but can you imagine the travesty of spending so much time coming into the house of God and worshiping God, but then when we leave this place, we do not serve like we belong to God. We do not act like we belong to God. He called Mary's presence something special. But for Martha, when he looked at her, he scolded her because she was all about preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And I've joked many times, you know, she was probably frying chicken because that's what preachers eat. I don't know what the meal was. It most likely wasn't that. But she was so busy making dinner that she ignored her guests. Ladies, are you ever guilty of that? Thanksgiving, you got to get the food on the table. Everybody's there ready to eat. They know it's going to be a special meal. Can't wait for the pecan pie or pumpkin pie at the end. Cool Whips in the refrigerator. Everything's ready to go. And you're so busy cooking that you don't even get to enjoy Thanksgiving with your family that drove a couple hours to be with you or something. That's what we're talking about here. Martha missed it because she was so busy. Various translations of the Bible that I looked into describe her in various ways. Some say worried and upset about many things. Others say that she was anxious and troubled. The Message says she was fussing far too much and getting worked up over nothing. I like that. It's just pretty clear. You see, Martha's life was out of focus at that moment. It's not that it's bad to serve, but there is a time when we need to have a different priority. There's a time when the guest that is there is so important, the need that is so great, that you need to give attention to the person that's sitting in the living room that you're just about to feed the dinner to. And her service for Jesus got in the way of her lovingly sitting at his feet. And so we are introduced to Mary because Martha comes out and says, hey, I'm in here cooking, Jesus, trying to get the meal ready for you and your disciples. You're traveling, you're stopping by. I'm doing the best that I can, but can't you just tell Mary to come and help me a little bit? And that was her total attitude about the situation. But what does the Bible tell us about Mary? It tells us that she sat at the Lord's feet. She was devoted. Because although there is a time and place for serving Jesus, there's also a time and place for only Jesus. Amen? She sat at the Lord's feet. Now that doesn't mean just that he was sitting in a chair and she sat on the floor at his feet. I mean, it's like that, but that's not all that it means. There's something that's packed in that phrase, to sit at someone's feet. It means to learn from them, to experience them, to take in what they're saying, to get to understand them and let them pour into your life. So when it says Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, it's not just that she was sitting on the floor and he was sitting in a chair. It's not telling us about position. It's telling us about spiritual dimensions here. She was sitting at his feet. And so when we talk about this, we're not talking about you're supposed to come to church and sit at the bottom of the steps and imagine God pouring into you. That's not the idea. It is that you sit before God and allow him to pour into your life. That's what it means to sit at his feet. So she was spending time there listening and learning, and she got approval from Jesus for what she was doing. He called Mary's presence these phrases: the right choice, the good portion, what is better, and the one thing that is essential. Remember that Martha is worried and upset and troubled about many things. She's anxious. She's fussing far too much and getting worked up over nothing. But what Jesus says about Mary is she has chosen the right thing, the thing that is essential. And there is an importance about being alone with Jesus, communing with him, and no excuse for failing to be involved in service at times. Sometimes we must serve. But then sometimes we must be alone with Jesus. Both of those are significant parts of life. You can't just say, well, I'm a service kind of person. And somebody else said, well, I'm more of a spiritual kind of person. Those two things have to fit together. We serve and we sit at his feet. Jesus was not advocating for a life of contemplation over a life of service. The church has gotten really mixed up over this over the centuries. That's why some of the Christians built monasteries way out away from people. And they separated monks or others for that service. And they put them way out there to live the contemplative life. And those people out there were absolutely no good to anybody else because they were locked inside their four walls communing with Jesus. Now, was it important to commune with Jesus? Absolutely. But it's not either or, it's both and. And at some point, we have got to remember that we have got to spend time with Jesus, but also serve. Because we all have probably heard the phrase that so-and-so was so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. You know, we've heard that. If I could say it correctly, if it was pithy coming off my tongue. How about if I just read it? So heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. There you go. We know what that means. But make no mistake, service for Jesus cannot take the place at spending time with him. Now, can I take a little survey? Because I know that we have different ages of people in here. How many of you have ever heard of Larnell Harris, Christian singer? Okay. Everybody under 30 has no idea who I'm talking about. Okay. How about Sandy Patty? Anybody ever heard of Sandy Patty? Oh, golly. Everybody knows Sandy Patty. Well, Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty were known about, how many years, 30 years ago, of being a really hot duo for Christian singing. Larnell Harris is an excellent vocal person and just has taken us in some of his songs straight to the throne of God, it seems. I came across years ago, a man in our church sang this song years ago, and it stayed with me all these years. It's a song written by Larnell Harris. And I don't know if probably many people who even know Larnell Harris have ever heard this song. And it's called, I Miss My Time With You. Let me read you some of the words here. It's talking, first of all, about the Lord. And he says, there he was just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait. To be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day, I would have passed him by again if I hadn't heard him say, and then God speaks, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. And then the singer responds in the second verse, what do I have to offer? How can I truly care? My efforts have no meaning when your presence isn't there. But you will provide the power if I take time to pray. I'll stay right here beside you, and you will never have to say, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. I love the song because part of it is the Lord speaking back to the singer. Now, I wanted to be real practical too this morning and let you know that if you go online and you Google something toward devotions or quiet time or something like that, you'll get all sorts of resources that will come up that you can use. You can even put apps on your phone that will give you a daily devotion and all those kinds of things. Here at church, we provide through the generous gifts of our people and their offerings, we were able to provide some devotional helps like Open Windows. Anybody use Open Windows? Raise your hand. How about Journey, ladies? Did anybody pick up Journey and use that? Guys, do you use Stand Firm occasionally? I see some hands there. Our Daily Bread. We have out here some mission prayer points that come to us from International Mission Board. The youth, by Jordan, has given them a New Testament reading plan. Pastor Daniel provides in some new material. They just got Children's Bible Study for Life, some take-home sheets that have some daily Bible readings in it that children can do with their parents. If you have a Sunday school quarterly or Lead You material, you can use that as a daily guide, just studying smaller portions a little bit at a time. But don't let that be the only thing that is a part of our times alone with Jesus. It should not just be us reading devotional material. It also needs to include times of listening to God and praying. Years ago, back in ancient times when I was younger, they said, if you're too busy to pray, what's the rest of it? Then you're too busy, right? If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Remember that Jesus called the time that Mary spent with him at his feet some select phrases. He said, it's the right choice, the good portion, what is better, the one thing that is essential. So take a moment, just think about your life. Is your relationship with God mostly just going to church on Sundays? Maybe you read your Sunday school lesson on the way to church or late Saturday night. I don't know how you do that. You show up and you sort of can intelligently talk about what the study is. But what about during a week? Do you ever find yourself so hungry, so thirsty for being with the Lord, that you find time, you make time to be alone with him, sitting at his feet, not literally, but figuratively before Jesus, learning from him, listening to him, reading scripture and letting him speak to you, praying and then giving a moment for maybe him to speak back to your heart, to encourage you, to challenge you, to strengthen you. Are you a Martha? Lord, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so happy about all the awards that I'm going to win for having served you in the nursery all those years. Is that your goal? Or when you get to heaven, is it going to be your major focus? I have got to find Jesus. I've been getting to know him for a long time, and I just want to see him face to face. Brother Bob, you get it, don't you, man? You understand that. So I want to ask you some more questions. Is it probable, like most of us, that certain things crowd Jesus out of our lives? Pastor, you just don't get it. You get paid to be holy. We have to work for a living. And it's hard. I have to commute to Memphis 45 minutes or an hour every day. Sometimes I have to travel out of the country for a week. I got to get my kids up and get them to school, get them to daycare, Pastor, you just don't get it. We live busy lives. We don't have time for all of this spiritual stuff. If you're too busy, you're too busy. There's got to be some times when you're alone with Jesus. Now, the elements of our life may not be bad things. It's not bad to take your kids to daycare. It's not bad that you have to drive a little ways to get to work, and maybe you stop by Starbucks or McDonald's or somewhere and get a cup of coffee on the way. Those are not bad things. Some of them are very important. But anything that keeps you from being alone with Jesus on a regular basis has to be examined, right? If it's keeping me from being away from my family, I'm going to examine it. If I don't have some time for myself to get my head screwed on straight once in a while, I'm going to examine that. And as a believer, you've got to occasionally take time to examine your life to see if there's something that's keeping you from being close to the Lord that you say you love and you worship. We have to be careful that we don't get so busy serving Him that we forget to make time for Him. So is your life full of distractions? Are you anxious and troubled like Martha was? Because sometimes it's those very emotions that the God puts within us to stir us, to challenge, to think about our life and say, am I giving enough time to enjoy being alone with Jesus? Okay, let's go back to the scene again. Jesus, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, come on in. We haven't seen you in so long. I know you're on your way traveling, but would you stop here just for overnight? We'll fix dinner for you. Come on in. And if Martha goes in the kitchen or wherever she fixed dinner and spent all of her time doing that and put out a great spread of food, those disciples are going to be more than happy to consume it. At the same time, Mary's thinking, you know what? He doesn't get to come by very much. I miss talking to Jesus. While I got him here, I don't really care if the salad's made right or if the chicken's fried perfect. I don't care. Let Martha get mad at me. She's always mad at me anyway. So I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet and let him talk to me and tell me what's going on about the kingdom, about what God is doing, about what's the fresh breath of air he's breathing into that stuffy old religion of Judaism. Jesus, talk to me, teach me, help me to get to know you. And when they walk away from that experience, which one of those sisters is going to have something to remember that moment by? The one that was so busy serving, hoping Jesus noticed that she makes really great mustard-based potato salad? Or Mary, who says, I didn't realize the burden that Jesus is carrying on his way to Jerusalem. He talked about what was going to happen when he got there. And I was able to understand him a little bit better, why he has come. There is a difference between serving and spending time with Jesus. And I hope that you make the right choice, the better thing, the one thing that is essential, at least regularly in your life. Get alone with the one you love and let Jesus pour into you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us know you through your word. Dear Jesus, our Savior, thank you for letting us see pictures of how you dealt with different folks. Father, I pray for this congregation. We've got to be honest and real. That our lives keep us busy. School keeps us busy. Being in the band, playing in the football team, being on the dance squad, playing competitive baseball, being in gymnastics, all of those good things, if we're not careful, they will steal away all the time that we have available to be alone with you. And I pray our teenagers especially, our young adults especially, that while they may have some time in their life right now, a little bit more than they're going to later, and responsibilities are not quite so great, that they will take the time to get alone with you. Not just watch TV or go to the movies or be with their friends, but take some time that's devoted, dedicated, just to be alone with you and let you pour into them at a foundation level that they will need all of their life. Moms and dads who are raising kids and are struggling with the wisdom and the understanding to know what to do best, how to guide them most, how to shape those children. I pray, Father,
you will give them a call to come to you and be alone with you. Older adults who have lived most of their life and yet they're thinking about what they will leave behind. Let their legacy be that he was a man of prayer. She was a woman of God's word. They love to get aside, away from others, and be alone with Jesus. Call us, Lord. Remind us of how much you love to be alone with us and pour into our lives. In the blessed name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing?